Thanks, guys. Thanks, Kyle. Hello, everyone. So like you said, my name's Cody. I know a lot of you know a lot of your faces from seeing you guys around, but I'll take a minute just to kind of introduce myself, talk a little bit about me. I'm 20 years old. I was born and raised here in Modesto, California, all that fun stuff. Since I started following Christ, this is like my only church that I've been to, so that's pretty cool. And yeah, I went to Downey High School, so make some noise if you go to Downey. Yeah. Downey Knights. I currently go to school at Liberty University, do school online. That's pretty cool. Right now I work here at the church, worked here for a couple years, and I also work at Costco out in the food court. I make pizzas, so that's pretty exciting. If you like Costco pizza, you're welcome. So that's pretty cool. I just figured I'd start off tonight just kind of walking you guys through my testimony, kind of walking you through how I got to know Christ and how I kind of got to this position. So it's not like the most exciting story ever, but I won't make it too boring, I promise. So I grew up, I'm the oldest of four children. I grew up in a home with my mom and my dad. Pretty like normal family, like they love us and all that kind of stuff. But they didn't exactly follow Jesus. There wasn't really like anything spiritual or anything religious about my home. They weren't anti-God or anything like that, but they just were pretty indifferent. So I grew up not knowing who Jesus was, not really knowing, like, is there God? Is there not a God? Conversation never really happened in my childhood. But I grew up, and so I didn't know that my parents went to this church. They came here when they were younger. They were here through high school, and they were here through college, but for whatever reason, they just kind of walked away from the church, walked away from Jesus, and for whatever reason, just never kind of made that a priority in mine or my brother or sister's lives. So I grew up not really knowing much. I was a pretty normal kid by most standards. I was a little bit of a troublemaker, if I'm being honest. Was a little rowdy, like pretty much any young boy, I'm sure. If you ask my teachers, I bet you they would tell you that I never stopped talking. I never shut up. That's for sure. I remember in the first grade, my teacher always had to keep moving my seat because I was like that kid that never stopped talking. And then she realized that no matter where she put me, like I was just going to talk to whoever she put me next to. So she moved me to her desk. She's like, there, that'll stop him. But nope, I would just talk to her the whole class. I'm just talking to her like, hey, how's it going, Ms. Vincent? You know, and so that was me. I always talked. I was kind of a rambunctious child. I grew up loving sports, loved to play me some sports. Football and baseball were like my go-to sports, playing video games like any young child would. And that kind of stuff. So I poured all my energy kind of into football, into baseball. That's kind of like where I felt like I had value in doing those things. And that's just kind of how I was growing up. So that leads into how I kind of get connected to the church. Because at this point, it's the summer between 7th and 8th grade. So I've grown up a little bit now. And there's this thing called the Super Summer Sports Spectacular, right? Four S's, and I'm like, dude, that sounds sick. So my cousin who goes here, she's like, hey, Cody, there's this thing called the Super Summer Sports Spectacular. You like sports. You should come check it out. And I'm like, like that sounds pretty fun, but meeting new people, like, not super into that. She's like, I'll get you dinner. And I was like, sold. Like, free food and sports, how can I turn that down? So I show up with my McDonald's, and I'm like, I'm ready to just play some sports with these people. And that's exactly what it was. It was like all summer, just playing a bunch of games, getting to know some folks. And it was actually super cool. I loved that first time, and then I just kept coming back every Wednesday night because I'm like, I'm trying to play sports. So it was a good way to get me connected. We move forward, and it's like school starting back up again. And I kind of have this decision, like, well, this summer sports thing is over. Like, is that it? Do I just stop coming or what? But I kind of decided, you know, I made some friends. I'll give, like, a regular Wednesday night a try. So I come back. I love it. It's still super fun. I've got my friends. And it was just a super, super cool experience just kind of discover some things about God. So I keep coming back. every Wednesday night, just coming back, having fun. I didn't really pay too much attention, if I'm being honest, to whatever was being taught. I was just there mostly for my friends, right? I'm just hanging out. It's another cool thing to do. But little did I know that those things were going to start kind of seeping into my mind eventually. So we move forward a little bit. I'm in eighth grade now. So I'm in eighth grade. I've been coming pretty much regularly like this whole school year. And it's like winter time. So I get my first camp experience. I go to a winter camp up at Camp Chinkapin. And it was like super cool. And all you middle schoolers that just came back from winter camp, like it was like that. It was super snowy, lots of fun. We played all these games, and I'm like, this is awesome. And so there's all kinds of cool things like that, right? And it's at this camp where I really kind of just discover what God has for me and how much he loves me. And like it super strikes my heart. And I'm like, wow, like, this is kind of what I've been listening to for the last year or so. Like, maybe I should give this Jesus thing a try. So it's at that camp. I accept Jesus. I'm like, yeah, like, this is something that I want to do. This is a guy that I can follow. This is something that makes me feel good. And so I make that decision, and I'm like, woo, Jesus. And then I come home, and then it's gone, like, in a week. And I'm the same old kid getting in trouble at school and talking nonstop and being a little punk. And so that's me, and everything that I just realized the weekend before, like, it was gone. But nevertheless, I made that decision, and I was still coming to church. And so now I'm starting to pay attention a little bit, but not really a whole lot still, just kind of coming to church, hanging out with my buds. So that's kind of where my relationship's at until I get into high school, and kind of my freshman year is pretty much the same thing. I don't end up going to my first Vertigo until between my freshman and sophomore year. So I'm like, okay, this sounds like it could be fun. My friends are like, you've got to come. It's like the coolest thing ever. So I'm like, all right, I'll come. And we go to this summer camp, and they were right. It was the coolest thing ever. If you've ever been to a Vertigo, you know that it's like a life-changing, awesome experience. So I do that, and it's kind of at this camp heading into my sophomore year where I'm like, man, What have I been doing for the last 2 years of my life? I've just been wasting them, like pretending that I'm following Jesus when I'm not really doing anything. And so I'm like, all right, God, you're right. Like, I'm just going to totally devote my life to you. And it's time for me to start actually following you and actually pursuing you. And so from that point forward, I can say with like some good confidence that I've been trying my best at just following Jesus and just discovering what it is that he has for me. So I come back from camp, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to take this thing to the next level. So I sign up for this thing called ServeU that, like, has just started. And so I get my first job, and it's setting up chairs in this room on Sunday mornings for The Edge, which was, like, I don't know if you guys remember, it was, like, an overflow thing for the Sunday services. So that was my job, was to set up chairs during first hour, and second hour I was an usher, so I, like, passed a plate to collect offering. Like, that was my job, and it was pretty cool. And you know, I felt like, hey, I'm actually contributing now to the body of Christ. I'm actually trying to get to know him. Like, I think I've got this Christian thing down, am I right? And so that's kind of the mindset that I'm in for a little while, until I realize that, you know, hey, you know, this is kind of getting boring. I feel like I'm not growing, and I'm kind of stuck in that area for a little bit. And then God being God, he just kind of hits me. So it's another regular Sunday morning, and I'm in here. I set up my chairs, and people start coming in. So the service is starting. We're, like, doing offering or whatever. And then it happened to be, like, a not very normal service on this Sunday. The pastor at the time, his name was Pastor Wade, was doing an ordination service, which is basically, like, this fancy thing where he's giving these guys basically the title of pastor. So they're, like, getting a promotion or whatever, like they've been here for a long time. So that's what's happening. And these guys, they get ordained. And then afterwards, Wade kind of does, like, a little bit of a message. And he basically says something along the lines of that these guys, you know, they felt God's call, and they answered it, and they joined, and they, you know, jumped into his ministry. And this was their way of kind of being recognized. And he felt like there was people in our congregation still that God is calling into ministry. And so here I am, I'm like passing a plate, like grabbing it, passing it to the next down. I'm like, whoa, like, what did he just say? Like, I felt something, and I'm like, whoa, is God, like, calling me right now? Like, I'm just a guy that passes plates and sets up chairs. I'm not that important. But nevertheless, you know, I felt like God was definitely calling me to something, so I ended up talking to some leaders, and they got me plugged in the tweenage ministry. So now, my serve you job on Sundays, I'm volunteering with tweenagers. That's where I know a lot of you guys from. And so I'm hanging out with tweenagers, and that gets us pretty caught up to today. So I'm there. I'm serving for the last couple of years of high school. I end up my senior year, I come on church staff in the children's area. And so I'm hanging out with tweenagers, but I'm part of church staff now. I'm there for about 3 years, and that gets me to right about here where I get the opportunity to hang out with you guys, which is super cool and very exciting for me, like another step on the journey. So here I am. That's kind of my testimony. And that's it. So my story has some pretty common themes that I'm sure like at least a few of you guys can relate with, as far as like growing up in a house that didn't necessarily have Jesus in it. Like, that's a pretty common theme for a testimony. Also kind of accepting Jesus at a camp. Like, that's pretty common. I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate with that. And so those are just some really important things that I just kind of wanted to put out there, that those are pretty common. For a little bit, I just want to kind of talk about the two things that Kyle's kind of preached on the last two Wednesdays. So if you haven't been here, really quick, we've been walking through the two kind of the two greatest commandments that Jesus says when he's talking to some Pharisees. So I'm just going to read really quick that passage, just in case you forgot. It comes out of Matthew. It's in chapter 22, and I'm going to pick up in verse 34. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" So over the last 2 weeks, Kyle kind of touched a little bit on both of those. The first week, you know, love the God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the last week, he talked about loving your neighbor as yourself, right? And so I kind of just wanted to take a chance to talk about how those two things, like, while they sound great on paper and they're great things to learn about, they're things that we're supposed to apply to our lives. So we'll kind of, like, look at my life a little bit, and then we'll talk about your guys' lives and just how those two things apply. First off, if it weren't for people living out those commands to love God and to love their neighbor, I wouldn't be here right now. If it wasn't for my cousin, like, showing love to me and inviting me to church in the first place, I wouldn't be here right now. If it wasn't for the leaders and the students that I met while I was here just showing me love, like, I would have had no reason to stay once the sports thing was done. But I stayed because they were loving, and they were reciprocating that love that they were getting from God to me. And it was an experience that made me want to stay and made me want to be a part of this. I specifically remember the junior high leader at that time. His name was Matt Moore. He was telling me, probably after I got in trouble for something, because that's just how I was, he told me that God loved all of us wherever we were at, and that regardless of any mistakes we made, that would never change. And that just kind of has hung on to my heart. And it's really stuck with me that love that God has and that we show God is something that we should be showing others as well. And like I said, if it wasn't for my friends who I met at that time loving me and, you know, showing that love to me. This was a group of guys that kind of grew up in the church, right? So they grew up since they were wee little lads together. And then here's this new guy just jumping in seventh grade, and they were so great, and they loved me, and they brought me in, and, you know, I was able to kind of join that group. If that hadn't happened, there's no way in heck I'd be here right now. And it's all because they were loving me, just like this passage calls for us to do. And I've been lucky to have leaders throughout my years be a great example of prioritizing the love of God in their life and making a conscious effort to love others. So because of all these people that kind of were living out these two commandments in my life, I'm here now, and it makes me want to kind of live out those commandments as well as I can in my life. So it's not very easy, but it's definitely possible. Something that I want to point out is it's not two distinct different commands. It's not like, you're supposed to, one, love God, and then two, love your neighbor, right? It's not, you can't complete the first one and then move on to the second one. It's something that God calls us to do simultaneously at the same time. When you're loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, your growth as a person is inevitable. It's only natural that when you're loving God and God's loving you, that love's going to overflow into others. So first and foremost, we do need to love God. Like, that's a crucial element in this process. But we can't focus so much on loving God that we're forgetting to worry about loving our neighbors as well. Something in my life that I've run into a lot is this common misconception that, like, you feel like you need to fix yourself, right? You need to get right with God or whatever excuses it is that you tell yourself before you can start worrying about others, before you can start helping in other people's lives, before you can start loving others. That's something that I'm constantly running into. I feel like I need to fix myself. I need to get myself in a better position. When I feel like I'm doing good walking with Jesus, well, then I'll start worrying about others and their walk, right? That's wrong for a couple reasons. One, it's not my power that's going to fix me. It's not our power that's going to fix us. Like, that's all God. I can't do anything to fix myself. I'm completely helpless unless it's God's saving grace and His Holy Spirit doing work in my life. And that's something that we need to remember, that no matter how hard we work, no matter how hard we try, ultimately, it's God that's going to remove the sin from our lives, or remove that stain of sin, and it's not us. Nothing we can do can take care of that. Secondly, God intended us to love our neighbors during the process of becoming one with Him and improving our relationship with Him. That's something that we're supposed to do at the same time, not in succession, not one after the other. While we improve and grow and closer to Jesus, loving others will become easier. So that's something that, as long as we're continuing to improve our relationship with God, and as long as we're continuing to draw near to Him and to love Him with all of our heart, right, it's going to become easier and easier to love others. God has placed several opportunities in my life for me to be an example of His love. I don't particularly like working at Costco. I'm just going to put that out there. It's not something that I super enjoy. I'm surrounded by customers that I could easily just reciprocate the anger back to on a nonstop basis. I like most of my coworkers, but there's people there that I work with that I don't like. And it would be super easy for me to just kind of put my relationship with God on the back burner and just kind of get out all that anger and frustration on a daily basis. But that's not what God calls us to do. God's put me there for a reason, to kind of practice these two principles that we're talking about, of loving Him first and foremost and showing that love to others. And so that's something that I have to make a conscious decision every day to try and do. All those opportunities that God puts in my life are there for a reason. And so only you know what your opportunity looks like. Maybe that looks like being nice to the guy that sits next to you in your science class that you don't really like. Or maybe that looks like being nice to the girl on your soccer team who's like super full of herself, but she's not even that good. Or maybe it looks like being super compassionate at home to your brothers and sisters and your mom and dad. Whatever that is, whatever opportunity God has put in your life, it's a chance for you to kind of reciprocate that love back to others. Because of I've been so blessed with some experiences, I've been able to see kind of God's love completely transform places firsthand. Like Kyle has mentioned before, like, I've been to Guatemala and I've been to Colombia, I've been to Mexico, and even just around here in our own neighborhood, like through our rescue department, like, God does so many amazing transformational things in people's lives and in the environment around us. The one tool that they have that's most powerful is the same exact tool that you and I get to use in every day life, and that's love. All we have to do is use that tool, loving others. I promise you this, that just that one single thing can absolutely revolutionize your lives and the people that you come in contact with, just showing them love. So my challenge to you guys, kind of as we end our time here, is that in your guys' small groups, you guys could come up with something to deliberately and intentionally do this week to work on your relationship with God and to love Him more, and B, to intentionally show that love to others. I want you guys to come up with something with your small group leaders, something that you can do this week, and then something that you guys can do moving forward. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to call Kyle back up, and I think you guys are going to go to small groups. So bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all these students that are just here to draw closer to you, God. And I just pray that as we move forward in life and as they go out back into their lives and back out into the world, that they would just take to heart this concept of loving you more and showing others that same love that you love us with. God, we thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.